Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, we're continuing our Bible study on the topic of prayer. I did not count. I'm guessing this is about number lesson 17, 18, 19, somewhere in that ballpark. I've not personally kept track of them. But I want to help you tonight in a special way, and I think I have tonight's lesson, and then one more on the topic of prayer. I'm working on maybe a third, another one after that, but we'll see how that goes. But I just want to help you tonight. Acts chapter 2, and we're going to start reading in verse 41. The Bible says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily in one accord in the temple, and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Now, look back at me, if you will. Let me do just a little bit of review that goes all the way back to the beginning. And I don't have my wandering around microphone. That's okay. I can stand still tonight. That's okay, Brother Brett. Prayer is simply talking to God. You say, that's not a real deep definition. Who said that it had to be deep? Folks, God's original intent for prayer was all the way back in the Garden of Eden. God came down and walked with man and talked with man in the Garden of Eden every day. God gave man a job to do. He gave us the world to run. And he came down for, and I'll use this terminology, it's not theologically maybe correct, but it's illustratively correct, almost like a staff meeting every day. He came down, and as man was doing his work, he was able to ask God questions about what he did not understand, and God would answer them. That is exactly the approach we should take with prayer. Thing is, you're not the boss, he is. So prayer is not this big fancy show of words. That's Pharisaism. I don't think God is disappointed if you use big words, but you don't impress him. You don't know as much as he knows. Matter of fact, the Bible says that he knows our thoughts. He knows what we need before we know what we need. And he knows how to answer it before we ask. He just wants us to ask. It's just like your children. You know what your children need before they know what they need. But there's times you wait till they ask you because you want them to learn how to ask for what they need. Same is true with God. We are to pattern after him. Now, here in Acts chapter 2. And I don't hesitate, but I repeat myself for a reason, folks. Pentecost has come and gone here in Acts chapter 2. Pentecost was not the beginning of the New Testament church. Mr. Schofield's wrong. Mr. Schofield was a dispensationalist, and Mr. Schofield has his doctrine screwed up on the church. He believed that all believers made up one church called a universal church, an invisible church. Well, folks, invisible churches have invisible ties. They don't teach invisible tithing either. There's no such thing as those dispensations and things. It was a church. By the way, the Bible says, in the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. You can't add to something if there was not something there to start with. There had to be something there to start with. So the church did not start there. It started between Matthew 16 and Matthew 18. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." But here in the church of Jerusalem, Pentecost has come and gone. They have seen a massive influx of growth. Now, a church's success is not measured by number only, just so you know. Did you catch that? Okay. My dear friend, Brother Kevin Arcola, he's over in Blacksville, West Virginia. How many of you know where Blacksville, West Virginia is? Okay. You say, where's Blacksville? Go to Morgantown, turn left. When you get to the Pennsylvania line, come back, and that little stop that you went through where there was no stop sign is Blacksville. It is out in the middle of nowhere. I'm not kidding. I mean, it is way out. I think the population of Blacksburg or Blacksville itself is about 110, 115 people, literally. Brother Kevin Arcola has a church that was started in an old bar. He's got two center columns right in the middle of his center aisle. Amen, Mrs. Lowther. She thought they were decorative columns for a wedding that we were at. It's trying to hold the building up. If you dropped a quarter in the back of the auditorium, it would roll to the middle of the room and stop. If you dropped it from the platform, it would roll to the middle of the room and stop because the whole room goes this way. Brother Kevin's running 80, 90 people. Big days, he'll have 120, 130. He'll have more people in church than live in the whole town. He might not be running 5,000, but Brother Kevin Arcola is tearing up the woods. Been there 12 years. Can I tell you something? That is success. Did you ever notice God does things by percentages usually? You take Brother Hiles in his heyday. We would run 24, 25,000 folks in a church service on an average day. But we had about 4 million people to draw from Chicago. That means Kevin Arcola was outdoing what Dr. Jack Hiles did at the Great First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana, under the leadership of Brother Hiles, if you take percentages. You see, God doesn't always measure it by the way man measures things. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay. God measures a church's success, listen to this statement, by its obedience. Now, obedience will bring growth. I believe that. I believe personally that obedience to God will bring growth to a church. But I, as your pastor, will tell you this, we're going to obey whether we grow or not. You don't go soul winning to build a church, you go soul winning to obey God. If soul winning grows the church, great. But if it doesn't, great, you've obeyed God. Say, well, what are we going to do if the soul winning doesn't start growing the church more? We're going to go soul winning. Say why? Because that's obedience to God. Everybody doing okay? All right, here we go. Part of this new growth, though, was teaching the church how to pray for one another. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse number 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. And in breaking of bread, they were Baptists, amen? There's always food involved. And in prayers. Wow. Now, folks, if you're new to church, you don't know how to pray very well. Because somebody didn't teach you. So they had to continue in prayer. Now, as our church grows, and it is growing, and as it grows more, we'll need to teach people more and more how to pray. Now, God wants to spend time with you. I said this a long time ago. God puts you here to spend time with Him. That is the purpose. When we taught on our Wednesday night series on separation, the whole point of separation is getting rid of those things in your life that keep you from getting closer to Him. That's what separation is all about. The same is true in prayer. God wants you to pray so that He can spend time with you. Those of us that have children that are grown or out of the house. I've got two boys that are at college right now, and one daughter still at home, and we're going to fail her in school just so she stays around a little longer. But you know, when the boys make contact, they haven't been home for months. When you get a text or a phone call, man, it means an awful lot. Say why? Because you don't have them around every day. Can I tell you something? How much more does God feel that way about you? He is our Father. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you talked to your daddy? I'm not talking about your earthly daddy. I'm talking about your heavenly daddy. When's the last time you talked to him? Now, I'll be honest with you. My folks, they're what do they call those things? Snowbirds. They go to Florida for the winter. But when my mom and dad are in town here, do you know I either call or see my mom and dad every day? Say why? I'm not sure how many more years I'm going to have them. I'm going to take advantage while I got it. My grandmother will be 96 years old in April. I call her every Saturday of my life and have for a quarter century. Say why? I'm not sure. I've been saying for 25 years, not sure how long I'm going to have grandma. She's outlived everybody we thought she was going to die before. Now, wait a minute. I love her. I'd like to spend time with her. I want to know and want her to know that I love her. So I call her. I talk to her. Let me ask you a question. How's your relationship with God? When you pray, do you say, hey, God, it's me. Do you remember who I am? Let me ask you a question. Your physical children, if you didn't talk to them for about 2 or 3 years, then they came to you and said, oh, God, Daddy, I need about $3,000 to pay this bill. What's the chances of you helping them? If you haven't heard hide nor hair of them. But I promise you this, the one that you talk to every day, guess what? If they needed help, you're going to bust your neck to help them. Say why? There's a relationship there. Y'all doing okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Some of you are like this at me. God wants to spend time with you. Now, listen to this statement. I also believe the more specific we get in prayer, the more we give God the opportunity to answer us. I believe the more things we ask God for, it gives him more opportunity to help us with things. Now, listen to this. I also believe the more that we ask God for and the more opportunity he has to answer us, that means we're looking for God to answer us more than we ever have. You might pray for one thing, but if you prayed for 10 and God gave you 8 out of 10 right away, guess what? You're going to get a little bit more fervent about the 2 that you didn't get, right? You'll be looking for more and more things that God does to answer your prayers. Now, for God to bless our church, and I'm going to use this term, it's I labored over whether to even use this statement or not, but I'm going to. For God to bless our church in a maximum way, we all need to ask God for things for our church. Let me show you what I mean. The more you ask God for things for our church, and the more people in our church that ask God for the same thing, the more we get God's attention on our church. I can pray every day of my life for certain things and God will hear me, but can you imagine what God would do if 150, 160 people asked God for things every day? Ooh, we're going to get his attention. My daughter, every once in a while, especially when she was younger with her friends and stuff, she'd want one of her friends to come over and spend the night. Y'all know what I'm talking about? So, you know, she thought she was real sneaky. She'd ask her friend, well, why don't you go ask my dad and tell him it's okay with your dad if you come to my house? Say why? Because she thought it would be harder for me to say no. Sometimes that was true, but not always. Say, what was that? She was trying to get more people bombarding me to make it happen. Y'all know what I'm talking about? All right. Can I tell you something? God's that way too. Imagine what God would do if there's probably about 90, 95 people in here tonight or at church tonight, but let's say 100 people. If 100 people ask God for 7 or 8 different things each, wow. Not only is God's attention here, but guess what? There's 100 of us looking for God to answer those things. And when 100 of us get excited about seeing God answer prayer, guess what? We start praying more. I don't know about you. I'll ask as long as I get. But when I get shot down, it's not real fun to go back and ask again. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's the hard thing about soul winning. You gotta put those no's aside and keep on going to find the one that says yes. All right? Now, the more attention God's attention we get, the better spirit our church will have. And I think we have a good spirit. I'm going to give you about 6 or 7 different things tonight that I want to teach you on how to pray for our church. How we can keep God's attention on our church. All right, ready? Number one. First thing I think you should pray for is for God to use our church to see people get saved. Period. End of discussion. Our church is here to reach the lost. I think every day you ought to pray that God uses our church. I'm not talking about just the building. Talking about the church is not the building. The church is the people. Shoot, this is no stinky, dirty warehouse. Guess what? God's using it. God's using it. See, it's not the building. It's the people in the building. And the building doesn't get anybody saved. The people do. We take the word of God, show them the word of God, and show them how to get saved, and they get saved. I had a pastor call me today. I won't tell you from what state. Good man. Friend of mine. He said, how's it going, Brother Bush? I said, it's going great. He said, how's your attendance? I said, super. He said, what's your attendance? I said, none of your business. I said, we're growing. I said, why is the bottom line for you the attendance? How about people getting saved? I said, let me ask you a question. How many people you got going out soul winning? Got a little quiet. He'd been pastoring a long time. He said, well, how many did you have last week? I told him. He said, all right, you win. I said, I'm not in competition. I said, I'm just trying to keep people out of hell. I said, I'm excited about it. Folks, isn't that what it's all about? Last Saturday, I got to lead a 28-year-old man, 15 brain tumors in his head, got to lead him to Christ. I just led his mom and their stepmom and dad to the Lord 2 weeks before then. I came back. I had an appointment with a neighbor of one of our church members, took my daughter with me, led that lady to the Lord on Saturday afternoon. She came to church Sunday morning, brought her 3 kids. They were in junior church. Brother Stoltz was preaching. They got saved. Folks, I don't know about you, but that's fun. Is that not what it's all about? So you ought to pray for our soul winning. You ought to pray for people to show up and go soul winning. By the way, just show up. Say, well, I'll pray for you. Show up sometime. Pray that God uses you to win somebody. Boy, that's good stuff. I believe we ought to pray for people to get baptized after they've been saved. Baptism has nothing to do with going to heaven. Plain and simple. I explain it this way. If I took my wedding ring off, I'm still married. People know I'm married because I wear it. That's what baptism is. It's a picture. It's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. No, I'll be honest with you. I've been preaching for 33 years. I've been in full-time ministry for 25 years. I don't understand everything there is to know about baptism. I do know this. It's the first act of obedience. I know that people that after they get saved and they obey God in their baptism, they're less likely to ever doubt their salvation again. Say, how do you know that? According to the book of Hebrews, it says, giving them full assurance of faith. Wow. The biggest thing is, it's just an act of obedience. Say, that's not real deep theologically. It's deeper than you know. And by the way, Jesus didn't go down into the Jordan River for John the Baptist to put a cup of water and pour it on his head. He didn't stick his fingers in the water and splash it in his face. He wasn't called John the Catholic. He was called John the Baptist. It was about 330 years before there ever was a Catholic. And Baptist wasn't John's last name, just so you know. All right? You ought to pray for special times for us to win people. I wish you could see it around here. Delivery person comes. They ain't got a chance around this church property if somebody's here. My secretary's sick of them. If somebody's here working, cleaning or something. Miss Debbie Hess was here one day. She was cleaning. She brought this man to my office. She said, "Brother Bush, he came here for something. Could you help him?" Man, it's put up or shut up at that point in time. I walked in, won him to Christ in my office. I said, "Back, you know." Folks, isn't that what it's all about? My soul. You know, nothing will touch the heart of God more than a church concerned about reaching the lost. You know what I'm talking about, you young families. There's a couple of you that's got buns in the oven, amen? Babies on the way. It's special to you when somebody is kind and good to your children. And it's exciting when you bring a new one home. As long as you bring it home and I don't, that's fine. It's more exciting, amen? Wait a minute. When you start birthing new members into God's family, that gets him excited. It gets him real excited. So nothing will touch the heart of God like people getting saved. Number two. Number one, pray for souls to be saved. Number two, pray for visitors to come to church. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you just prayed for visitors to come to church? Not just the ones you invited, but just for visitors to come. Everybody doing okay? Mr. Shea back here, I prayed for him. I didn't know who it was, but I pray every day of my life for God to bring visitors to our church. Say, why? Because I believe that's how God does it. I'm not sure if anybody from our church has knocked on his door or not. Chances are, yes. But if not, guess what? God brought him. And it happens almost every week here in our church. Now, pray for visitors of people that you didn't invite, but somebody else in the church did invite. I'm going to make a statement here. Pray for folks we didn't even invite to come. You know, there are people out there that need church. A whole lot of them. Yes, sir. Matter of fact, all of them do. Amen. They need a church especially that's not going to pussyfoot and not tickle their ears and tell them what they want to hear, but tell them the truth. Right. And you're stuck with somebody that's not afraid of the truth. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to make a statement here. Pray for them to come and like our church. Say why? Because we want them to be part of the family. We want them to be part of the spirit of Grace Baptist Church. Pray for them to come back. You know, well, bless the Lord, we got a visitor. Good. Did you pray for them to come back? No, I prayed for them to come once. Well, pray for them to come back. Then go do something about it. Go invite them again. Everybody doing okay? All right. Number three, I got to hurry. Pray for those who work or labor here at the church. Now, I realize I'm pastor. We have a small staff. I have a part-time secretary. When's the last time you prayed for Mrs. Barnes? She got put up with me. She needs a lot of prayer. Yeah, buddy. I get 40 hours of work out of a 20-hour-a-week secretary every week. Trust me. Monday morning, I was driving to the church. It was about 6:30. And it was ugly Monday morning. Let me tell you, it was ugly. I called. Brother Barnes picked up the phone. I said, "Brother Evan, tell your wife, stay at home. She doesn't need to be out in this mess with two kids. Tell her just to stay home. It's okay." I said, "I know her. She's going to try this. She doesn't need to try this. Keep her home. Slap her in the head. Do something, all right?" Say, what was that? I cared about her health more than I did something getting done here at the church. We'll make up the work later. It's no problem. I'll put the extra hours in. The letters can go out a day late. Whatever it is, we'll make it happen. Her safety was far more important than a few hours of work. Everybody doing okay? Okay. Have you prayed for the Sunday school teachers? Seriously, do you pray for the Sunday school teachers? Those that work the nursery for Sunday school, Mrs. Ecker in the 3 to 5 year olds, Brother Mrs. Kisner in first through sixth grade. You got Brother Lowther and Brother Smith who tag team here in the Agape Couples class. You got Brother Gus Collin here in the auditorium class. And you got Brother Brinkerhoff and Brother Mark Rogers and their wives in the teen class. Hey, when's the last time you prayed for our Sunday school staff? When's the last time you prayed for our nursery workers? Folks, you don't know how tough that job is. Now, I thank God for our nurseries. First 3 months of our church when we were bouncing from hotel room to hotel room and no nursery, believe me, I thank God for our nursery, especially the way you all have babies. Good night. And have at it. I'm done. Three strikes, you're out. Amen. But some of you want a whole baseball team. Go for it. Amen. You can have an entire football team, offense and defense. You can have 22 of those puppies. I don't care. But may I say this, pray for our nursery workers. Pray that they show up on time. Pray that they're here. Pray that they can fill their slot. When's the last time you prayed for the fellas that work out in the parking lots on Sunday mornings? You know, there's a lot to it. And they're out there, rain, snow, standing in slushy, sleety, nasty, rainy, yucky stuff out there. Doesn't matter, they're out there. Say why? So that there's somebody out there to greet you and help get the cars in such a way to where we can get back out without somebody having an accident. And thank God for those guys. When's the last time you prayed for our greeters? Men that stand at the door and ladies that stand at the door and open the door and shake folks' hands. I'm talking about praying for them. I'm talking about folks that clean the buildings. We've got several folks that come in and volunteer their time and clean the buildings. Have you ever prayed for them? First time the bathroom isn't cleaned up to your specification, you're going to complain about it. Did you ever pray about it? And by the way, I promise you, that bathroom is clean. Mrs. Hess, there's no such thing as a germ around that woman. I think she drinks bleach. You all think I'm kidding. Show up on a Tuesday morning when she's cleaning around here. Bring nose plugs. Because if you don't, the bleach smell is so strong, the hair in your nose curls up. You know, like that, man. It's rough. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. Now, wait a minute. I have a lady that sanitizes every toy in the nursery twice a week after the services. She spends a long time going wiping down every one of those toys twice a week. Say why? Because we want the kids to be healthy and safe. Everybody doing okay? I tell people this when I'm out soul winning and knocking on doors and telling folks, I say, look, my nurseries are clean. They're probably cleaner than your children's room. Oh, no. And I say, we clean the toys in the nursery twice a week. Oh, I don't do that. I said, I know, but I do. Now, not me personally, but we have it done. Those of you in adult classes, how about praying for the folks that are on your breakfast list to bring food on Sunday mornings? That's an important thing to pray for, amen? Yeah, buddy, got down right where you live, right, Brother Hawkins? And man, but I'm serious about it. Folks to show up and to do their duty and to do it well, pray for our deacons. Folks, there's a lot to this. What about praying for our special music? Pray that they stay well. This has been a tough winter. It's tough on special music. And then we've had deaths out of town and this person out of town and all these things taking place. And it's been jumble, 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 scramble, 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 scramble. But guess what? We're getting it done. But when's the last time you prayed for whoever was going to... You say, well, I don't know who it is. Just pray for the special music. Pray for those that play the piano. You realize that just every service... We have a different offertory, usually, or a different person playing. Sometimes Mrs. Logue schedules herself into that as part of the rotation, but there's always somebody different. Then, Sunday morning, we have a special song. Sunday night, a special song. There's a lot of special music going on around here. Say why? Because you're so special. Anyway, but pray for that. I'm talking about all the practice times. You don't understand all the practice that goes into what goes on up here. I don't believe that God's work should be you hit the podium and you haven't practiced. You look at the pianist and then you look out and say, y'all pray for me. I haven't practiced this, but we're going to give it a whirl here. I don't think God's work ought to be done that way. I think it ought to be polished and done right. And our, by the way, those of you that do, you do practice. I make sure of that, and I appreciate it. And it's done and done well and done right. And we've got younger piano students that'll play the offertory, and it might not be a Tchaikovsky professional piece. And by the way, I'd rather have one of the hymns than Tchaikovsky any day. I don't need no Pollock. No, let's face it, folks. I'd rather have songs we know than what the world calls the classics. Some are better than others. Some are still learning. We got a whole bunch of folks that are just getting ready to start some piano lessons, and we're going to be able to, in a few months, to start throwing some more in there, and I'm excited about it. Can I tell you something? There's a lot to pray for, isn't there? Number four. Let me review real quick. Pray for souls to be saved. Pray for visitors for church. Pray for those who labor at the church. Number four, pray for God to bless the finances of our church. I don't know how to say this, but this is God, and I don't like this terminology just because it sometimes has a negative connotation, but this is God's business, and it needs to run right. This is God's money, not our money. I do not approach the finances of our church like you do your checkbook. It's not my money, it's God's. It is. We've got to be wise with God's finances. We pay our bills. We pay them on time. Most time we pay our bills early. But pray for God to keep doing that. And God's blessed our church financially. I mean that. We're not rich. God knows we're not rich. But I wish you knew how much God is blessing the finances of our church. There are times where we'll do things and God gives us unbelievable deals. I believe God helps us save money. You say, why? Because these are his finances. Because every penny and every dollar we save there, we can invest it in seeing more people get saved. Because is that not what it's all about? It's not about fancy buildings, fancy chandeliers, fancy carpet, fancy this, fancy that, fancy cars. No, it's about reaching people, getting people to church. This is not a museum, it's a hospital. This is a place where sick people come to get well, not a place where you come to look at relics on the wall and say, boy, isn't that valuable? I've been to enough of those museum churches to know I don't want a church like that. It's dead. A couple weeks ago, a lady came to our church. I went and visited her. She said, well, I knew somebody in her church, and they're a sinner. I looked at her and smiled. I said, yes, ma'am, I am. She said, no, I wasn't talking about you. I said, ma'am, we're all sinners. Amen. I said, if you want to find a church where there's no sinners, when you show up, you just ruined it.
Right.
I said, our church is a hospital. I'd be the first one to tell you, every person there is a sinner. I promise you. I said, we're not some fancy museum where we're putting things on the wall and say, look at that, look at that, look at that, look at that. I said, we're a hospital where people come to that are hurt, wounded, tired, weary, and sin sick, and they need somebody to inject them with the word of God to pick them up and teach them how to make it another week. I said, that's what we're all about. By the way, I'm proud of that. I'm not ashamed of that. Too many museums out there. I've said this before. Pray for us to save money and spend money wisely. Pray for each other. Listen to this statement. Pray for each other to get the work necessary so that they can pay their bills. And that keeps the finances of the church healthy as well. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Several of you folks work on commission only. Instead of praying for God to give you money, why don't you pray for jobs to take care of it? Sometimes God wants you to work. God's not the welfare line. Okay. I'm going to make another statement here. Pray for God to give you wisdom to use your money wisely. Maybe you need help. Come see me. I'll help you. But maybe you could do more for God if you set your finances up right to where you weren't always behind. I have yet to find a financial situation that was not fixable. Just so you know. They're always fixable. Now, America is approaching something that's almost unfixable, but even America's problem is fixable right now. Nobody's going to like how it needs fixed, but it could be fixed. Everybody doing okay? I'll make this statement. Several weeks ago, I taught this just for a moment. I'll just hit it in passing. Pray for God to use you to double your tithe without you giving more money. If every person in here went and reached somebody who grew enough in the Lord to begin tithing, you just doubled your tithe. And you would not have to give any more money. It's that simple. Is that not God's economy? I don't understand it, how you can live better on 90% tithing than you could on 100% not tithing. But I know it's true. You cannot outgive God. Period. Guarantee it. Number five. By the way, I'm not asking for me. I'm not asking for the church. I'm asking for God to bless you. Okay? Number five. Pray for the needs of our building to be met. Do you know how much it takes to keep this thing going? Man, there's a lot of stuff around here. We've got PA equipment. We've got baptistry. We've got the water bill. We've got the sewer bill. We've got the electric bill. We've got the propane for the heat in the wintertime. We've got the upkeep of the buildings. We got to pray that none of the pipes burst. And we got to pray for all of the office equipment. It takes about $4,300 a week, $4,400 a week to run this church by budget. Now, that's not a huge budget. And by the way, God blesses our church well and above that. And I'm glad. We're trying to put money away for savings. If God wants us to purchase this building, $1.8 million. At $1.8 million, we've got to have about $350,000 down payment to put down on it. So we got to be putting money away. And we've got money put away. Everybody doing okay? Say, are we buying this building? We don't know yet. We're just getting ready in case God opens up the door for us to do it. But even if we don't, we still got to have money for a down payment sometime. Pray for things not to break down. I got to say it. Brother Mark, I'm going to do it. I was out plowing Monday, and that wasn't snow. That was slush. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Well, that poor little old Polaris four-wheeler with the plow on the front, it pushes a lot all the way down to the pavement. Well, I was out front over here, and you can't push long tracks of snow like that. I mean, you can stop a four-wheeler in its tracks. I mean, don't do that. Well, I was backing up, pushing all the stuff out towards the pond out there. Choo, 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 choo. Man, and you got to rev that thing up because it gets so much weight. If you slow down, then you got to back up again and hit it, and it goes everywhere, and you get a Methodist baptism every time, you know. Oh. So I'm, and I'm trying to, I got this thing down. Well, by the time I got almost to the front doors, I had the system down, you know. I backed up, and all of a sudden I heard something go, what was that? We now have new columns on our overhang at the front door. I hit one of them puppies and just about broke it all the way off. It was great. So we got new columns. Pray that the preacher looks where he's driving next time he's on the four-wheeler. Oh, my soul, I couldn't believe I did that. I had to call somebody and say, hey, look, we got church Wednesday night, and I'm afraid if we put any load at all, if somebody walked by and grabbed that thing, it was going to fall down. I mean, I hit it so hard that the spouting had a hole in it. Okay, it had bent so far to where there was a hole in the, I mean, it was a good job. I did it right, amen. I didn't do it half-heartedly. If you're going to do it, smash that puppy. I did. Pray that I don't smash anything else up at the church, amen. I'm always looking for good deals in things. One of our men, several months ago, these lights, to purchase these, if you bought those new without bulbs and everything, they're running, what, about $80, $85 a piece, somewhere in that ballpark. Then you add bulbs in there, you got another, what, $20 in bulbs probably, and another $20 for a ballast. You got $120 a set. One of our men called me and said, preacher, I got a box truck full of lights, $20 a piece. I called a couple of our deacons and said, what do you think? They said, when are they delivering them? We picked up 150 some lights, amen. Say, what for? Because when we expand this auditorium and those go up, we need more lights. When we finish things out there, we're going to need more lights. As lights break, we've got them. I paid one, I got six for one. These all had bulbs in them. Man, we're ready to go. God saved us money. Y'all doing okay?
Yes.
That's how you pray. Amen? Number six, I got to hurry. Pray for people to come our way who will be willing to produce for God. My Bible says, pray ye therefore laborers into the harvest. Now, listen to this statement. Everybody is welcome at Grace Baptist Church. I don't care if they're poor. I don't care if they're rich. I don't care if they're no class. I don't care if they've never been in church in their life or if they've been in church all their life. Everybody is welcome here. Everybody doing okay? There is nobody here that is more important than anybody else, including the guy talking to you right now. Nobody. But may I say this, I think it's wise of us to pray that God would bring people our way that could help produce people. Because isn't the purpose for our church to grow? That doesn't mean everybody we reach is going to be that way. That's okay. But I think we ought to reach as many people as we can that can reach people. And those that aren't, we can teach them so that they can go reach somebody that can reach somebody. That's called the Great Commission. That's God's plan. All right, I got to hurry here. Pray for new musicians. I mean, when's the last time you prayed for God to give us more musicians? Brother Barnes, you're not one of them. Amen. Brother Hawkins, you quit being one of those before you was born, amen. He can't even play the radio in tune, amen. But praying for Sunday school teachers. When's the last time, folks, we're going to need to split some Sunday school classes and we're going to have to start building some Sunday school rooms because we're out, we need to move, we need to multiply by dividing. We're going to do it in the spring, summer. We're going to get some things moving here. We just have to. We're getting to that point. Pray for new helpers. Pray for soul winners, folks that will bring visitors, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Number seven, and I'll finish. Pray for us to continue to have unity in our church. Amen. There's a sweet spirit here at this church, and it's a unified spirit.
Right.
Let me show you how you have a unified spirit. You unify around that book.
Right,
right there. In my own tender, little, shy, timid way, I'm going to show you how you have problems in a church. You run your mouth about things that aren't your business. You give everybody your opinion about everything that you don't know anything about. You gossip. You tell everybody else's problems. That's the best way to ruin the unity in any church, promise you. Everybody doing okay? I can make it a little more plain if you want. Do you know, you can have an opinion about things, but everybody doesn't have to know what it is. In the book that I wrote, my wife got mad at me for saying it, This will be about the third time in the last 3 weeks I've said this, but I don't care. In my book, I even published, opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one, and you pick which one you want. Folks, everybody has an opinion. Well, I'm just a little more opinionated. No, that means you open your mouth about your opinions. Everybody else has the same amount of opinions as you have. We just don't all run our mouth about it. We didn't take a vote on what color carpet we were getting. The guy that's colorblind that sits in the office over there picked it out, amen? Now, I got help. We didn't have a church split over what color paint we put on the walls. You say, well, I wouldn't have picked that. Good. I did. Rather than having, thank you, Brother Ron. He's colorblind too. But rather than having a church fight over it, we just made decisions. Because we could have 150 different opinions on how things are to be decorated around here. Do you know what a camel is? A camel is a horse that a bunch of Baptist committees put together. We'll have committees around here. Man, committee after committee after committee. Gag. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. You say, well, I wouldn't have done it that way. There's times I wouldn't have done it the way we did it. But I didn't have time to do it any other way. And it's what we had available to make do with what we've got. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Man, I'm having fun. Pray for us to focus on truth and not personality. Men and ladies, we get real good about this. Well, I don't mind that person, but I just don't like their personality. Then don't tell anybody. Smile and shake their hand and say, I love you and I'm praying for you. And by the way, pray for them in a good way, not for them to drop dead. You can tell I've been a Baptist my whole life, can't you? I know just where you're at, amen. Pray for us to get along even when we disagree. Guess what? You, at some point, will disagree with me about something. Promise you. Say, how do you know? Because there's times I disagree with me about things. We're going to disagree. Folks, if I get up and say the King James Bible is not the Word of God, leave. Promise you. If I get up and say that you can get saved by being a good person and not by grace through faith alone, leave. That's bad doctrine. But if you're going to get upset over the fact that we picked these colors for paint and it wasn't the color you wanted, grow up.
Yes, sir.
I don't know how else to say that. Well, I just don't like it. Okay, there's things about everything. If I came to your house, do you think I'd like everything there? My house is not designed after your house. Guess what? We all have different tastes. You have your house. I have mine. That lets us dwell together in unity. Amen? But we have to come together 3 or 4 times a week at a church house. Guess what? We just ought to fall in love with it and say, bless God, let's go on.
Amen. That's good.
Boy, that's good stuff. You know, when you disagree with somebody, you don't have to tell everybody. If I disagree with Ed Hawkins, you think I'm going to go around telling everybody, Brother Hawkins is stupid. He shouldn't want that. If I disagreed with him, you wouldn't know it. By the way, he and I have disagreed with one another more than once. I've known Brother and Mrs. Hawkins for, it's almost 30 years now, isn't it? Good night. And as hard-headed as Ed Hawkins is, you know he's been wrong more than he's been right. And I've been right more than he's been right. Now, wait a minute. There's times he and I disagree, but you know what? You'll never know about it. He doesn't go around telling everybody, I told preacher he shouldn't do that. Uh-uh. If he disagrees with me, it's in there. He'll tell me. And I'll say, Brother Ed, I hear what you're saying, but this is the way we got to do it. All right, I don't like it, but we'll do it. He's done things and been for it and got you to help do things that he didn't even want to do. Say, why? Because we disagreed, but we go on. It wasn't over doctrine. Boy, that's good stuff. I'm going to say this and then I'll conclude. Pray for us not to have influences that would cause division among us. You know, you ought to pray for each other, not to have things influence each other that would cause division among us. Some of you dabble with things that are going to cause division eventually. Some of you dabble with things in your marriage that will create division. You're supposed to be unified. A church is supposed to be unified. So we ought to pray for one another, not to have things influence us that would create division among us. Boy, that's good stuff. Everybody look at me for just a second. Do you know I have no idea what any other church in town or any other church in any other state in America is running right now? Because I don't care. I don't. You know, I don't know what... I could list you a dozen pastors right now in any state. I don't know what they're teaching to their crowd tonight in their Wednesday night Bible study. Brother Robert Burton over here at Warm Springs in Berkeley Springs. I have no idea what he's teaching tonight at his church or how many he's running. But Brother Burton's my friend. I talked to him here in the last week or so. Hadn't talked to him for a while. He called me. Say, what'd you talk about? He said, Brother Bush, just want you to know I'm your friend. I said, Brother Burton. He said, I know. You don't even have to say it. I already know you're my friend. I said, good, but I'm going to say it anyway. Folks, I don't care what he's running. I'm not pastoring his church. I'm pastoring this church. I don't need to worry about what he's doing. I don't play politics in church world. Somebody wants my advice, they'll call me. Otherwise, I don't call to offer it. Everybody doing all right?
Yep.
Man, that's good stuff. Sometimes we allow influences that could cause division among us. Let me see here. I'll use Brother Lopez. He needs picked on tonight. If, let's say that I had a CD in my car and I listened to a certain church group that was singing on that CD and Brother Lopez was out with me and he'd say, Brother Bush, I don't prefer we listen to that. You know what I'm going to do? Turn it off. Now, you can listen to anything I have. I don't think anybody would have a problem with it. But let's just say Brother Joe knew something about somebody that was singing in that group that I did not know, and he'd say, I got a problem with that. You know what I would do? I would probably get rid of that altogether, personally, so that I wouldn't offend anybody. There's times I know things about certain things that I could save you a lot of grief if you just ask me. Do you know that you personally will probably love deeper than most other people in the world will love you back? That's just a fact. Well, I have a friend and I haven't seen him for a while and they've gone through a problem and I love him so much, and you're going to put yourself in harm's way to tell them you love them? That's not real wise. You can create disunity by that. Listen to me, I'm helping you. Then, I'm done. Make sure you take time to thank God for each and every individual answer to prayer of what God does for our church. Every Sunday night, my wife gets mad at me because I can't sleep. Not Saturday night, Sunday night. She wants to conk me in the head about midnight. Say why? I am so wound up from all the blessings of God all day long. I'm just like this. I can't sleep. Say why? Because I just keep running through all the different blessings that I went through on Sunday. All the different answers to prayer and all the... And by the way, it's like that every day. Say why? Because I decided I was going to start thanking God individually for everything that he does for our church. Can I tell you something? People that learn how to praise God don't criticize each other as much. I'm going to make a statement here. I hope I make somebody mad. You're less apt to talk about somebody else's bad if you're talking to him about the good that he has done. I promise you that. I never met a gossip yet that had a good praise life. Not one. Not one. I never met a negative, critical person that had a good praise life. Now, I'm not power of positive attitude. Gag. Man, I've thought a lot of things. I don't care how long you think, if I drop my keys, they're not going to hit the floor. Guess what? You get, oh, they're not going to hit the floor. They're not going to hit the floor. Oh, I'm so disappointed. I'm discouraged. I'm depressed. God's not real. Let's go party. That's wacky, weird stuff. But I do believe in praying, asking God to help us, and then watch Him answer and thank Him for it. Boy, that's reality. God wants to answer your requests, and may I say this, the more you thank Him, you got a better chance of getting more prayers answered later. If your kids ask you for something, then they come back and say, thank you, Dad. Every Sunday night, I get the sucker jar out for the little ones. And I love how many of you parents have taught your children to say thank you. And some of you stand there and watch and make sure they do. Matter of fact, every once in a while, one will come back and say, thank you, preacher. You're welcome. I don't make them do it, but I sure do like it when they do. Say why? Because I think it's appropriate. It makes me want to give more. Amen? Did you catch that, kids? More. All right? All right. That's how you pray for your church. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. You know, a church that learns how to pray for each other, more apt to stay unified, more likely to have less problems. Not no problems, because we're all sinners, folks. And guess what? Somebody's going to sin in our church. Just get over it. That's what sinners do. But let's decide we're going to pray for our church the right way.